Good evening, everyone. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. As always, we begin by thanking our host, one who has made this enjoyable share for all of us possible, Jake Weinman, the one and only. Thank you very much. Special thanks to our technical support, Mitch Green. Special thank you to all of the Chosh of a wonderful Magidi Shir. And this week we have the great honor and privilege of wishing a special hearty Mazel Tov to Mordechai Platzker and his wife upon the engagement of their daughter. We wish them much Barucha, Nachas, and Simcha, and they should be zochet to do the Bayis Neman the Israel. Adina Simcha is the name of the Kala, and her lucky chosan, Simcha Ostrov. Special, special, wonderful Simcha to Adina and to Simcha. I'm sorry, Adina Platzker and to Simcha Ostrov. A special, wonderful Mazel Tov to them both. She deserves to be the Bayis Neman the Israel. We also want to thank our sponsors tonight. Tonight's show has been dedicated to Zeche Ulu'ilu Nishmas Madish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. We thank our sponsor, and likewise, we thank another sponsor for dedicating tonight's show to Zeche Ulu'ilu Nishmas Chaya Rachel Bas David Tzvi. These Nishmas has an aliyah in the merit of the learning of all of our participants on this wonderful evening, Zion Adar. And that opens up the topic of tonight's shir. Tonight is the seventh day of Adar. And certainly everyone here knows the significance of Zion Adar. It is the Yahrzeit. It is the Yom Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is everything to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, a life of greatness, a life of ascent, a model for us all. There's only an infinite number of things to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes, the Toirasai Emes. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's interesting that his Yahrzeit, his Yom Petira, falls out in the regular year as this year, usually against the backdrop of Parshas Tetzaveh. That's usually when Zayin Adar falls out. And more often than not, Zayin Adar, the Shabbos that it falls out against, is also Parshas Zohar. It's very interesting that the only parsha in the entire Torah that we do not mention the name of Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is not mentioned, is in Parshas Tetzaveh. Every parsha from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Parshas Shemos, his name is prominently mentioned. From Parshas Shemos all the way to the Zos HaBrocha, the name Moshe appears, with the exception, again, of Parshas Tetzaveh. And why? Why is the name not mentioned? So first of all, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Shemayim to defend Klal Yisrael for worshipping the eagle, to achieve atonement for Jewish people after they've committed the most horrible sin of making, fashioning an eagle as a replacement for Moshe, Moshe said to Hashem, Hashem, if you will not forgive them, I give you an ultimatum. Mocheini no misifricha asher kosofta. Erase me from the book which you have written. I don't want my name to be in the Torah. Hashem said, Moshe, how can you say that? And after a long story, Hashem indeed forgave Klal Yisrael. But we have a principle in the world of Halacha, in the world of Haggadah, that words that come forth from the mouth of a tzaddik are not bottled. The words that come forth from a holy person have an impact. And even though Hashem did indeed forgive the Jewish people, it would seem to require that the name Moshe should appear in every single parsha in the Torah after he was born. His words had an impact. By him demanding from Hashem that his name be erased, be omitted from the Torah, it had an impact. And in one parsha, his name indeed does not appear. And that parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. One will ask, why specifically Parshas Tetzaveh? Why not another parsha? Why is Tetzaveh the parsha that has been selected to express this principle, that the words of a tzaddik have an impact and his name indeed did not appear in one parasha. So the simple answer is because this week is the week, Parashas Tetzaveh is the week in which Moshe Rabbeinu left this world. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away at this time of the year. Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is usually falls out in the Parashas HaShavua of Parashas Tetzaveh. When Moshe Rabbeinu is Nelan, his neshama went to Shemayim, and it was necessary that there be a parasha where his name does not appear, it would appear to be the correct parasha for it to fall out. Another, the parasha that it would fall out would be another than Parashas Tetzaveh. Interesting also that there's another element of where Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear this week. And that is in the reading that we will do this week for the Maftir, Parashas Zohar. This week is the week before Purim. And the Shabbos before Purim, we lay Parshas Zohar. Many women have taken it upon themselves to be stringent and to come to shul and to hear the reading of Parshas Zohar from a Sefer Torah in the presence of 10 men, as is the halacha. And we read about what Amalek did to the Jewish people, a theme that very much relates to Purim. Zohar Eis, Asher Oso L'cho Amalek. V'derech, B'tzeischem, Minitzra. Remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people when you left Egypt? Asher Korcha, B'derech, V'yizanech, B'cho Kol Hanecha, Sholim Acharecha. You were weak, you were vulnerable, you were tired. And they took advantage and they attacked. They had the chutzpah, the audacity to attack for no reason, nothing to gain, just an expression of pure hate, pure evil, to express their wickedness against the holiest nation on the world who just received the holy Torah from Hashem. And the pasuk goes on to say the nature of these individuals, these people, this nation, v'lo yorei Elokim. They do not fear God. That is the essence of the nation of Amalek, a nation that does not have any fear of Hashem, the lo yorei Elokim. And the Pesukim go on to tell us that when the time comes, when you have an opportunity, you have an obligation to eradicate the name, the remembrance of these people from the face of the earth, don't forget lo tishkoch. It's interesting that in the desert, back in Parashas Bishalach, after Amalek attacked the Jewish people, we come to the first war where the Jewish people went out to attack, to punish the Amalekim for what they have done. And this appears at the end of Parashas Bishalach. And there the pasuk tells us, Hashem says to Moshe, Yehovah Amalek, we read this on Purim itself. This is the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim itself. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilochem im Yisrael Birfidim, Vayayimeh Moshel Yoshua B'char Lanu Anoshem Etzehi Lochem B'Amalek. Take revenge. Go out and wage war against the nation of Amalek. Mochar, tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav Arosh HaGivah, Moshe says to Yehoshua, I will stand on the top of the hill. Umateho Elokim biyodi, I will hold in my hand the Mate Elokim, the staff of Hashem. And Yoshua obeyed. Vayas Yoshua kasher Amalek. Moshe Livachim Amalek. Moshe Aaron Rechur. Olu Rosh Agiva. And then the pasuk tells us something very fascinating. Vehoyoka asher yorim Moshe yodoi. When Moshe would raise his hand, Vigovar Yisrael, the Jewish people would prevail. But if Moshe would put his hand down, the Govar Amalek, the Amalekim would prevail. And the way this is explained with the commentators, it's symbolic. It's when Moshe raised his hand to heaven and inspired the Jewish people to look upward to heaven and to realize, acknowledge that their success in battle only comes through faith in Hashem. Then they will win the battle. it goes without saying we have an obligation to do our part, our hishtadlus, to put in our effort, to be well-trained, and to fight and exert ourselves. But ultimately, the success comes from faith in Hashem and doing His will. When Moshe raised his hand and succeeded in elevating the Jewish people to put their faith and confidence in Hashem, then their efforts, their toil, paid off and they prevailed. But if the Jewish people, when Moshe did not raise his hand, which means that when Moshe was not successful in raising up the people to put their faith and confidence in Hashem, then with the best weapons, with the most sophisticated machinery and assets, it would not make a difference. Amalek would prevail. But what is interesting about this? Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, was the model of the battle of Amalek. Every battle that the Jewish people wages throughout the generations against the nation that does not fear Hashem is modeled and patterned after the first battle that the Jewish people fought against Amalek through Moshe. When Moshe raised his hands, the Jewish people prevailed. When he put his hands down, the Amalek prevailed. We read about the battle of Amalek, this parsha, this week, and yet the section of Amalek which we read makes no mention of the name of Moshe. We could have just as easily have read the parsha of Vayavo Amalek on parsha Zohar and the parsha of Zohar Eitz Asha Asa L'cho Amalek on Purim. It's not really such a good question, I am aware, but we just to bring out the point. There's another section of the Torah that deals to a very large degree with Amalek and the message and the technique in how to battle Amalek. And there Moshe's name is mentioned very prominently. But yet the Shabbos, not only is Moshe's name not mentioned in the parsha, in describing the glory of the Mishkan, of the garment of the Kohanim and the Mizbeach HaZohav, the completion of the Mishkan. Not only is it not mentioned in the Parsha, his name is significantly omitted. It is conspicuously omitted from the Maftir, the Melcheneth Amalek, where Moshe taught us how to fight. And Moshe's name is mentioned in the other major section of the Torah that deals with this mitzvah of the elimination of Amalek. Isn't that interesting? Moshe's name is not mentioned in the Parsha, and it's not mentioned in the Maftir as well. But what's interesting is sometimes when your name is not mentioned, it's not because your name is not mentioned. It's because it's not even necessary to mention. It is just so obvious. You are the elephant in the room. It's just blatantly apparent that everything centers around you. For example, in this week's parsha, Tetzaveh, it's true that Moshe's name is not mentioned. But look at how the parsha begins. V'atah you, Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. V'ichu elecha they shall bring to you the shemen zayitzach. There is no other element of the Mishkan where Hashem says about Moshe, you, the Ato, you, it's always Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leimar. We speak about Moshe. We tell a story. Here, the connection is so intense. Moshe is described with the word you, the Ato, you. Tetzaveh, the Yiku, the Jewish people, shall bring a lecha to you, the purest oil, in order to produce the clearest, purest, the most sublime light the world has ever seen, that radiates from the holy menorah, which represents the Torah Shebaalpeh. Moshe, it's not that he's not mentioned by name. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu leaves us this week, on today, Zayin Adar, he only becomes greater. His impact, his significance His mark is all that greater. We don't even need to mention him by name. We can refer to him with the word, the Atah. The parish opens up by referring to him in the most intimate, direct way possible. And likewise, when we deal with the Maftir, the battle of Amalek, indeed, how could we possibly fight Amalek? How could we fight the nation that is called V'lo Yorei Elokim? How could we fight? It's only through Moshe. Chazal tell us, how does one acquire Yiras Shamayim? Chazal tell us that a technique to be successful in acquiring Yiras Shamayim is humility. And in fact, it says this explicitly in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. It is only because of humility does one achieve fear of Hashem. Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. Who then can be the most perfect person, the most impactful leader in battling a nation that is not called Yirei Elokim V'lo Yorei Elokim? None other than Moshe. How do we know Moshe was the ultimate person who personified fear of God? Because we know to be a Yorei Shemayim, one must be humble. And it is written about Moshe, V'ho'ish Moshe, Onav Me'od, Mikol Ho'odom, Asher Al Pnei Ho'adama. The man Moshe is the humblest of every human being who existed, who lived on this earth. Moshe is the most humble, and it is only through humility one can attain an exalted level of fear of God. Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. And the nemesis of Amalek is the man who is the Yorei Elokim to fight the nation upon which it says V'lo Yorei Elokim. It's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu hovers, dominates the maftir of this week's parsha. Only another small point. Nothing is small, but another point. In the beginning of the parsha, when we mentioned Moshe, the Atot Tzavem, we refer to Moshe, you. The message, the lesson, the teaching is to produce oil that will illuminate the Mishkan through the menorah. Chazal tell us that the menorah is symbolic of the Torah She'bal Peh, the oral Torah. In the Milchama v'Amalek, it says that Moshe was weak. Videi Moshe kevedim, the hands of Moshe were heavy. And it says, what did they do when Moshe's hands were heavy? Moshe was having a difficult time raising his hands to inspire the Jewish people to fear Hashem. Vayikhu, they put an even, a stone. Vayosimu tachtov, vayeshev oleha. And he sat upon it. What is this stone that Moshe sat upon? I did not see this in the commentators, but I think we can suggest al derech drush, a homiletic idea. The word stone in reference to the holy Moshe means one thing. It means the luchos, the tablets. Psalucho shnei luchos avonim, korishonim. Tablets, stone, the Torah calls the luchos, the Torah that Moshe brought down from Shemayim, stone. The way that Moshe was able to raise his hands to heaven. Hayihi yadav emuna ad bo hashamesh. His hands were a source of faith until the morning. Was through his hands resting on stone. Hayeshev aleha. And Moshe tarried, he dwelt. He settled upon the stone. The stones are the luchos, the Torah. Pasuk is telling us homiletically the way a person can have strength to rise up with faith and influence others to likewise show their faith in Hashem is only when one dwells upon the Torah, when one leans, when one immerses himself in the study of Torah, in appreciating the value of Torah, in performing the mitzvahs of the Torah. in making the Torah the central part of one's life in all of its different dimensions and facets, each person on his level, ability, and power. Moshe raised his hands to heaven to produce faith for the Jewish people, but Moshe also had a difficult time. Moshe had to rest his hands on the Evan, the Luchos, the Avonim. And then he was revigorated, renewed, and was once again able to raise his hands and lift the spirits of the Jewish people to have faith in Hashem in difficult times. What comes out? What do we take out of this? Tonight, today, is the Yom Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that today is a fast day. We should fast and daven. Moshe Rabbeinu has left us. In every generation, there are leaders that follow in the ways of Moshe. Every generation, we will merit to have people who were a microcosm of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in this week's parasha, the parasha opens up with the Atot Tzaveh. Moshe's presence is so dominating, is so apparent. We don't even need to mention him by name. We can just say the Atot, you, Tzaveh. They shall bring to you the oil to guarantee that the Torah Shebal Peh that comes forth from the menorah should be pure. When we come to the Haftorah and we learn about our enemy, Amalek, the nation that the Torah describes with the term the Lo Yoyalokim, and we need a man to fight the battle for us, to inspire us, to lead us in this battle, the Torah tells us it was none other than Moshe who stood on top of the mountain and raised his hands to inspire the Jewish people. That inspiration came because Moshe Vayeshev Aleha, he rested upon the stone. And what is the stone? The stone of the Luchos Avanim. The Luchos, they're the stone. The Torah Shebichzav. Moshe's signature is all over the reading of the Torah, the Shabbos, both in the Parashas HaShavua and in the Maftir. It's worthy for us to dwell upon this gift that Hashem has given us a person, has given us Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emes, the Sarasli Emes. There's no greater commodity in this world than the attribute of truth. Moshe represents the ultimate truth in a world that is dominated by sheker, falsehood. The refreshing connection to Moshe with Emes, the Torosei Emes, it revigorates the soul, renews our spirit, and allows us to renew our emuna in Hashem, our commitment to be good people, to serve Hashem, the Kedusha, Uve Tahara, to raise children in the ways of Hashem, to produce a new generation of people who are Yireyim Ushleinim, fearful of Hashem, complete in the ways of Hashem, built upon a foundation of the gift that Moshe has given us, the menorah, the aura of the menorah, the pure illumination of the Tarsha, Baal Peh, intertwined, intermingled with his hands that are resting upon the Torah Shebichzav that he brought down from heaven. Thank you very much for listening to the Shiur. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Yiras Hashem, next Monday night is Purim. Beautiful Yom Tov of Purim. There was not going to be a Shiur next Monday night, being that it's Purim. We will not be having a Shiur. So Yiras Hashem, we will come together again in 2 weeks from tonight. Of course, all of the other Shiurim are scheduled as planned. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful week of success. Bracha. La'yehudim hoysa oira simcha sasan vikar kein tihye banu. Good night.